Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow bookbinger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. Today's short story is written by my very good author friend, Liz Delton. We have very similar brains and ran our first Kickstarter at the exact same time and launched podcasts within a week of each other. And we didn't even plan that. That's actually sort of how we became friends. Today's story is the prequel for an epic fantasy series she recently redid on Kickstarter, and it's full of complicated family relationships and intense magic. In addition to being my friend, Liz is the newly appointed president of Indie Fantasy Addicts, which is a fantastic fantasy reading community on Facebook that I know I've mentioned before. They have monthly prizes and do a super fun summer reading challenge, and I'm excited to see what Liz does with it. Liz writes and lives in New England with her husband and sons. She's always enjoyed the backstage life of storytelling, so she studied theater management at the University of the Arts in Philly. World building is her favorite part of writing, so she is always dreaming up new fantastic places. She loves drinking tea and traveling, and when she's not writing or reading, you can find her baking in the kitchen, out in the garden, or narrating books on her podcast, Fictional Bookshop. Today's narrator is Peter Franson, host of Christian Geek Central. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from both the author and the narrator, as well as how to enter our giveaway. For now, please enjoy The Fall of Azurite by Liz Delton.
Chapter 1. Zoan Coy was never late, neither was his uncle Raiden. As Zoan waited at the edge of the valley, he heard the purposeful footsteps of his uncle coming up behind him. Lord Raiden stood half a foot taller than Zoan, who was not short himself. His uncle's broad chest was covered in the dark robes all shadow mages wore, but Raiden's were extravagant, to say the least. They depicted a tempest in black and silver thread, running from his shoulders down to his knees. Zoan thought a tempest was the perfect representation for the man known across the realm as the Storm King. For a moment, they both surveyed the temple below as it soaked up the pre-dawn light. The immense waterfall on the opposite side of the valley provided a steady shush of sound that echoed over the peaceful light temple. Their group of mages had fallen asleep to that rhythm last night as they camped just out of view of the temple, waiting until morning for their planned visit. 7 out of 1,000, Raiden said, his hands on his hips, still gazing at the temple. Zoan scowled. Yes, uncle, I know. That's not why I...
7 in all of Camellia possess both shadow and light magic. The chances of you having both, I hate to say, are...
I am aware, Zoan rolled his eyes. Thunder rumbled through the air above them.
I saw that, Raiden said, glancing at him. He waved his hand in a small circle, and the electricity in the air around them subsided as he let go of the shadow magic.
I just want to study their forms, Zoan insisted, his back rigid. Especially their swordsmanship. I heard they have a light knight who can summon 20 different weapons in the space of a minute.
We were due for a visit to Azurite anyway. These lightmasters get suspicious whenever I don't respond to their invitations, and since they invited me, obviously they want something from the Shadow Region. We shall see what kind of bargain we can strike. I do hope they want something important. Lady Asaka thinks too much of herself.
Zoan grunted. He didn't really care about the politics between temples, and never had. He just wanted to study swordsmanship. The temple affairs were all Raiden's responsibility. For now, anyway. As much as Zoan wished it were otherwise, his uncle had been grooming Zoan to rule the Shadow Region ever since Zoan had started his training at the Spire. A few more minutes passed as they waited for someone to come out and greet them. Zoan's gaze roved over the temple's neatly built white stone buildings, a curious form of architecture he hadn't seen before. One large structure had massive columns out front, and Zoan wondered if it had been built with light magic. Raiden shifted and said,
"As if I don't have anything better to do. The spire won't run itself. Who will teach the acolytes weather magic all week, eh?
Zoan didn't respond, knowing full well that Raiden had assigned another skilled weather mage to teach the acolytes. He knew it was best to let Raiden complain and get it over with, and Zoan didn't want to ruin his chances of getting to stay at Azurite to study, just for making his uncle angry. Raiden let out an impatient breath, but it didn't seem to be directed at Zoan. His uncle was staring down at the gates of Azurite, which were still shut.
"You sent the message when I asked you, correct?"
Raiden asked.
"Of course," Zoan replied quietly.
Sending messages on the wind was one of his specialties, and Zoan had no doubt the sealed letter had reached its destination. The Lightmasters were to come out and greet them once the delegation had arrived, formally welcoming them inside. The receiving party was late. A few other Shadow Mages joined them on the crest of the ridge, but they remained silent, not wanting to risk Raiden's explosive temper either. The tardiness of the Lightmasters was growing into more and more of an insult as the sun rose higher in the sky, and still, not a single person exited the temple to greet them. Zoan stood his ground beside his uncle, who was being much more patient than anticipated. Zoan half expected Raiden to summon a cloudburst or tornado to draw the attention of the Light Temple. He had done so once in Doragon when the village leader offended him. As each minute wore on, Zoan's fingers clenched tighter and tighter around his sword hilt. He kept glancing at his uncle out of the corner of his eye, waiting for the outburst.
"What are they playing at? Surely they know what a grave insult this is to Raiden. They wouldn't offend him like this on purpose, would they?"
Finally, after an hour of waiting, dread growing into a painful ache in Zoan's middle the entire time, Raiden snapped.
"Zoan, go see what's taking so long," he boomed.
A deep rumble above accompanied the words, and Zoan saw sparks of lightning dance around Raiden's clenched fists. Attempting to calm his racing heartbeat, Zoan started forward, trying to look like the dignified representative of Shadow he was supposed to be.
"Wait,"
Raiden commanded, and Zoan turned. His uncle pointed at the katana at Zoan's hip. Zoan groaned. They had discussed Azurite's wishes that they enter unarmed, a foolish rule when the mages could do nearly anything with magic, but he dutifully removed it and handed it to one of the acolytes waiting beside them. Feeling as though he were missing a limb and not merely a weapon, he picked his way down the lush green crest of the valley toward the stone temple, secretly glad his uncle had sent him. Who knew what kind of reaction Raiden would have if he went inside himself? Zoan was still surprised he had waited so patiently for so long already.
"Raiden must really want something from Azurite."
Though he respected his uncle for his sharp wit and unquestionable leadership, Zoan was secretly excited to spend time at Azurite without him, even though that meant leaving behind his wife and their baby daughter Zara back at the spire for a few weeks. But Sere was at home inside the spire, with the company of her mother and aunts to help with, but sometimes hinder, the constant needs of their precious offspring. Without Raiden's presence constantly looming over him, and the pressure of possibly ruling the Shadow Region someday, Zoan was quite looking forward to this visit. He would have to find a small gift to send back to Sere the moment he got a chance. And he wouldn't let Raiden ruin this trip with his storm clouds, figurative or literal. The main gate was closed, but Zoan spied a small wooden door beside it and found it unlocked. Curious, he pushed it open slowly, not wanting to alarm any light knights guarding the gate inside, but he encountered no one. His first impression of the ancient temple was of beauty. A serene pond greeted him, and he drifted toward a small wooden bridge that led over a stream feeding into it. Manicured hedges and trees reminded him of some of the gardens back at the spire, but these were less meticulous, somehow making them more beautiful. White stone pathways zigzagged throughout, and still, he found no one. He had never been to a light temple before, but at the spire, even when lessons were taking place, certainly no one would be able to walk into the temple without being noticed. With a sharp inhalation and a jolt down his spine, he pulled shadow magic from his surroundings,
holding it in his core in case he needed to use it. The essence was in everything around him, from the ground to the trees to the air. He just needed to borrow some, and it would return to the world once he released it. He gathered up as much as he could hold. Something seemed wrong. Where was everyone? As he wandered through the garden paths, he spotted the grand white stone building he had seen from the ridge. It was an unusual design, with the large stone columns out front, a carved stone lintel, and even more columns inside lining the walls. Zoan had heard its design was reminiscent of the home of an ancient visitor from the Starless Realm, that strange place parallel to their own, whose visitors so seldom graced their presence. He would have to get the full history while he was here. Though they were few and far between, Starless visitors had a way of influencing the culture of the realm of Camellia, whether they intended to or not. Just as he was heading toward the pristine white stone steps, he heard shouts inside. The shadow magic in his core stirred as he brought some to his hands, ready to release should he need to. He vaulted up the steps two at a time. When he passed through the columns, he entered chaos. Trainees, knights, and masters stood in groups, arguing, yelling, and in many cases, sobbing. Zoan dropped the shadow magic from his hands but kept it in reserve. He reached for his missing blade and was met with empty air. A bright flash of white drew his attention to the opposite end of the building as a knight summoned a large sword made of light magic. The opposite of shadow magic in every way, light magic was solid where shadow was not, and could be forged into whatever the user wished. Momentarily blinded by the flash, Zoan blinked, wondering if what he saw at the end of the room was really there. On the pristine marble floor lay a body. The bare feet faced Zoan, but he could see her blank face staring up at the ceiling. His jaw dropped open in shock. The group of masters surrounding the body finally noticed Zoan. One of them broke away from the others and advanced toward him, quickly exchanging his mask of grief for anger.
"What is the meaning of this?" the man demanded.
Zoan cocked his head.
"What? How would I know? I just got here."
A commotion behind Zoan caused everyone to turn and look at the entrance. There stood Raiden, his chin jutting out arrogantly as he placed his hands on his hips. The rest of the Shadow delegation came in behind him. His uncle had never been a patient man. He must have come down the ridge right after Zoan. He was obviously still offended about not being received properly at the gate. Zoan saw the moment when Raiden noticed the body and watched his uncle frown. Flashes of white all around the temple resulted in a dozen weapons now pointing at the shadow mages, Zoan included.
"Murderer!" someone called. "How could you? Get out of here!"
Zoan raised his hands, waiting for someone to do something, for someone to say something that made sense. They were pointing at Raiden, but his uncle just stood there. How could they possibly think he murdered this woman when the mages had been camped together all night? And why would he? Sure, Raiden had said he wanted to gain a foothold over the Light Temple, but that was all about trade and resources or something, wasn't it? It only took one spark to ignite the seething tempers. A light knight summoned a staff too close to a shadow mage, and suddenly everything was in motion. Bursts of shadow wind flew in every direction, and the flash of weapons winking into existence lit up the room. The shadow mages weren't helpless, even though they weren't armed with their traditional weapons. Zoan watched his fellow mage, Sagano, use a blast of wind to knock over a light knight, who lost her sword in the process. Sagano tried to steal the sword, but the woman just dispersed the magic from where she crouched on the ground, making the weapon disappear. Another mage, Yu, grabbed a lightmaster's shoulder as he tried to slash at her with a dagger. He dropped like a stone, unconscious from Yu's peculiar shadow proficiency, something Zoan knew she could do with a single touch when she wanted. Not all shadow magic was just bursts of wind. It was anything intangible. Still, Zoan just stood there, frozen. It wasn't until someone rammed him in the back with an elbow that he jolted into action.
"What's going on? Why are they fighting us?"
Coming to his senses, he tried to fight his way toward where he had last seen Raiden. His duty was to his uncle, no matter what.
He shoved aside knights and squires, wishing again for his sword. Zoan slashed away an oncoming dagger, then ducked under the arm of its owner, having spotted his uncle. Finally, with his back to Raiden, he tried to gather his thoughts. He didn't want to hurt anyone, so he used his shadow magic to bind a few light knights, sending the invisible bonds to their hands or feet. If they were strong enough, they could break the bonds, but a temporary armistice might be enough to stop the fight. But even those he managed to bind still tried to fight on, blinded by grief and rage. Several other mages had positioned themselves around Raiden, who was perfectly capable of defending himself. It was more to keep Raiden from tapping into his powers and unleashing them on these people. The Storm King seemed just as shocked as Zoan felt, and thankfully kept his powers in check, waiting for the tempest of emotions to die down. But the Light Knights and Masters did not relent. They pushed against the ring of mages surrounding Raiden, summoning weapon after weapon, pulling light magic from their surroundings and forming it into each deadly weapon of their choosing. When an arrow made from light sailed straight for Zoan, he batted it away without a second thought with a wave of shadow wind.
"Enough!" he called. "Stop this madness!"
With a burst of energy, he withdrew all the shadow magic he had gathered into his core and let it out in a gust of wind that scoured the room, halting nearly all of the fighting. Silence descended, save for a few scuffles by the entrance. Everyone was looking at him.
"Oh, right,"
he thought, lowering his hands. Half hoping Raiden would speak up, Zoan drew a deep breath, but then decided it was probably best if his uncle remained silent, if these people thought him guilty of murder. Zoan cleared his throat.
"Come on," he implored. "What exactly is going on here? Why are you fighting us?"
Several shouts rang out, but their insults or explanations couldn't be deciphered after they were caught up in the echo chamber of the ceiling. Then one man emerged from the crowd, the same who had labeled Raiden a murderer at the start of this catastrophe. He looked a little worse for wear. A trickle of blood ran from one side of his mouth, and his gold-brown hair was singed at one temple. The rank smell of burnt hair drifted toward Zoan's nose.
"Lady Asaka is dead," the man said. "You killed her."
He glanced at the woman on the floor and pointed at Raiden. Zoan stiffened, recognizing the name of the temple's leader, though he had never seen her face before. Finally, Raiden spoke.
"What proof do you have, Mito?"
The man called Mito bristled.
"Proof? Proof? What more do we need? She was found here, no sign of death upon her, none other than suffocation by shadow magic."
Zoan glanced down at the woman in question. Miraculously, she had remained untouched during the skirmish. Zoan shifted his shoulders uncomfortably, having used the invisible binding magic on several people in this very room during the fight. The very same invisible magic Mito claimed was the cause of this woman's death. But his uncle couldn't have killed her. He couldn't have. Raiden was hot-headed, to be sure, but Zoan had grown up at his side all his life. He had helped raise Zoan when he discovered he had shadow magic and moved to the spire. Raiden had even held Zoan's daughter when she was born. It couldn't be true. He wasn't a killer.
"Suffocation," Raiden said a little bluntly.
Zoan cringed.
"What evidence do you have of that? I am not without sympathy for her loss, but..."
"We do have evidence,"
Mito said, his voice rising in pitch. He reached into his pocket and withdrew something small.
"Will you deny that this is yours?"
Mito threw the small silver object at Raiden. Zoan turned, facing the two of them. The object bounced off Raiden's chest and fell to the floor. Zoan recognized his uncle's ring spinning on the white marble. Zoan dared not look at his uncle next, though he somehow knew that on Raiden's right hand, his finger would be bare. He knew that ring well. It was the ring given to Raiden by the Emperor when he took over the leadership of the Spire, with a lotus flower made from sapphires. Raiden never took it off, ever. How in the world did it get here? Zoan's fists bunched. He thought he might be sick. He couldn't speak, couldn't find any words that could make this situation better.
"No," It wasn't true.
He tried to rack his brain, wondering the last time he noticed it on his uncle's hand, but came up with nothing.
I will not deny that it is mine, Raiden said calmly, holding out his hands palm down. But I would also have it known that this ring was taken from me last evening as we camped outside of your temple.
Whispers echoed around the room in doubt. Zoan's brow furrowed. How could anyone have infiltrated their camp when it was protected by some of the most powerful shadow mages in the realm? Wouldn't Raiden have noticed someone taking a ring from his very finger? And why hadn't he mentioned it to Zoan this morning? An aching dread began to fill his stomach.
No, no, this cannot be. Someone must be trying to frame Raiden. That's it. There was no other way his ring could have been here at the scene of a murder. It must have been stolen.
The whispers grew louder, and a few light knights nearby shifted on their feet. Zoan mirrored their movements and turned ever so slightly toward his uncle. Mito was shaking his head. Tears still clung to his eyelashes, and he glanced down at Lady Asaka, then back at Raiden.
Liar!
He spat.
If I wanted to kill her, why would I need to sneak in at night to do so? Raiden said, and Zoan winced, knowing full well that Raiden meant that as a serious rebuttal.
Mito charged straight for Raiden, and a small light dagger appeared in his hand. Zoan didn't think twice. He lunged to the right and caught Mito by the shoulder. It was instinct. With one breath out, he summoned a column of flame into his other hand, forming it into a sleek blade. Though he couldn't summon a physical weapon like the Lightmaster, he could use fire. It was the common element between light and shadow, visible yet invisible, tangible yet intangible, always deadly. With his right hand braced on Mito's shoulder, Zoan automatically brought the fiery blade toward their attacker's middle. Mito fell to the ground. Zoan's fiery dagger crackled with rage. Chaos broke loose in the hall. Ready for the onslaught, Zoan deflected a series of swords and arrows with a blast of shadow wind. Throwing shadow binds into the group of assailants at random, Zoan grabbed his uncle and they raced for the exit, the other shadows dutifully covering them. Zoan could barely think. He watched his feet racing down the steps as if they belonged to someone else. Was that blood on his hands? He banished the fiery blade in the next moment, but his hands were still gruesomely red. In the confusion, he lost track of his uncle, but as he crossed the small wooden bridge, he thought he saw Raiden's elaborate robes wink out of sight through the main door. A sharp whistle by his ear told him a light archer had followed them, so Zoan ducked behind a marble fountain. Another arrow ricocheted off the statue of a faun, taking a chunk off its tail. Zoan cursed, clutching the side of the fountain as he tried to steal a glance at his attacker. Several of his fellow mages were still fleeing the temple grounds, harried by light knights. A young mage tripped on a rock that flashed bright and white into existence. He fell to the ground, landing hard on the path. A knight advanced on him, banishing the hazardous rock and next using light to summon a dagger which he brought to the mage's throat. Zoan's eyes grew wide. Asa! He cried, forgetting the archer and making to rise from behind the fountain. An arrow whistled toward him, and Zoan issued a strong blast of wind, flinging the arrow aside and momentarily knocking the archer off balance. Zoan lunged forward, unsure what he was going to do, but knowing he couldn't watch this knight murder his fellow mage. Having spent all of his stored shadow on knocking the archer aside, Zoan gathered his thoughts and pulled more shadow magic from his surroundings. As he did so, he felt a sudden, enormous drop in the shadow magic all around them. Asa looked up at Zoan, feeling it too, his eyes wide in concern.
What was that?
Zoan muttered. Even the light knights had paused. The one with the dagger to Asa's throat glanced around, and for a moment, Zoan was confused as to why the knight would notice a change in the shadow essence around them. Then he understood. The constant thrum of noise produced by the waterfall above Azurite had changed. The entire valley could feel the difference. The pitch was different. A horrid turmoil gripped Zoan's insides as he lifted his gaze. All attacks suspended in the garden. The waterfall was moving. Where it had normally flowed off the edge of a high cliff on a ridge over the temple, there now only dripped water. The deluge instead was being rerouted directly toward Azurite. Zoan's mouth opened in horror. All he could think was, who could possibly control that much water? And then he realized he knew perfectly well. His uncle wasn't called the Storm King for nothing. But he had no time to consider the why of the matter, because water was now rushing down the ridge and into the temple grounds at a deadly rate. Asa scrambled to his feet, actually grabbing onto his attacker to help rise. The Light Knight merely gaped at the moving waterfall and let Asa go, stumbling toward the gate. Zoan shook his head as panic began to creep into his mind. He glanced around, blinking slowly. The gate was perhaps 20 paces away. The falls were gushing in over the eastern wall of the temple, crashing in waves over the buildings there. They flooded in through the wooden doors and windows, and soon toppled even some of the stone bricks in the wall. Screams rose amid the waters, and Zoan realized people were still inside many of these buildings. A cold shock in his feet made him look down. A trickle of water had reached where he stood, but it wouldn't be a trickle for long. The falls were now inside the temple, and the rapids were coming this way. Zoan glanced over at the Light Knight who had pinned Asa, and they made eye contact. A woman screamed nearby, the sound barely audible over the gushing waters. The knight hastened away, summoning a long rope coiled over one arm. Against his own better judgment, Zoan followed the knight to the nearest building. The water was growing higher. It was now up to Zoan's knees, and it was rising quickly. Soon the temple would be completely flooded. The falls continued to pound down on the eastern wall, slowly moving toward the inner buildings.
"Give me a hand, you idiot!" the knight shouted, drawing Zoan's attention back to the building. The knight was struggling in the current to get to the door of a long building, which was still shut. Shouts and bangs were coming from inside. "The door is stuck," the knight told him, fighting the current with his arm outstretched, the end of a rope in his hands. "The novices are still in there."
Zoan yanked on the shadow energy he had gathered and sent it into the water around them, taking a deep breath to quell the current beside the door. He wasn't very skilled in water or weather magic like his uncle, but he wasn't completely useless. The knight surged forward, yanking on the doorknob to no avail. Finally, he managed to tie the rope around the doorknob, and together he and Zoan heaved. The door wouldn't move. The banging from inside grew more frantic as the water rose all around them, now at Zoan's middle. He and the knight pulled fruitlessly on the rope until Zoan had an idea. He released the current and let it take them. The force of the water jerked them away from the door. They both held onto the rope and ripped the door from its hinges. A group of wide-eyed novices tumbled out, sloshing through the water and heading for the gate without a glance backward. Zoan turned to watch one boy steady himself on the knight when something rammed into Zoan from behind. Blinding pain shot through his back, and he slipped into the water just in time to see a wooden chair float by. Splashing his way back to a stand, he righted himself and tried to get his bearings. The water was almost to his chest now.
"Time to go, I think."
He waded through the flood toward the gate, where the knight and the last of the novices were heading. But then movement over by the eastern wall caught his eye. A woman carried a toddler above the water, wading through the flood with the child held tight to her chest. The child flailed their arms and legs, twisting about, clearly disliking being held so. The woman struggled to stay upright as she waded through the water, too close to the waterfall for safety. One side of her head was marred with blood. Thinking of his Sarai and Zara, he sloshed through the water toward them. No one else was left to help. He waded through, tripping on misplaced garden stones, heaving floating debris out of his path to reach mother and child. The cold water twined around his legs and pulled on his clothes. But when he was 10 paces away, and the mother looked up from struggling with her child with relief to see Zoan, everything changed. The sound of the waterfall shifted again, and they were right in its path. The bottom dropped out of Zoan's stomach. The deadly waters began to drift toward the woman,
and Zoan stopped moving forward, stricken. He couldn't stop the waterfall from moving. Spirits knew how much shadow magic that would take. He certainly didn't have that kind of power.
My uncle does. How could he have done this?
The sudden realization that it must have been his uncle, and actually thinking that for the first time, struck Zoan like another blow to the back.
And if he was willing to move the waterfall and possibly kill anyone left inside the temple, then could he really have killed the lady, too? He knew the mages were still inside, too. He knew I was inside.
He shook his head, flinging droplets of water into the sea around him. He flung away the surge of guilt and dread in order to focus. He took a clean breath in and yanked as much shadow magic from his surroundings as he could. His head whirring with the heady power of so much magic inside him, he watched with increasing horror as the water moved closer to mother and child. The woman was struggling to stay upright, to keep her child above the water. Zoan breathed out and released a steady stream of pure shadow magic straight into the air, a blast of concentrated wind, forming a protective barrier above the woman as the water rushed down from above. She staggered through the water, clutching the child. With every step of hers, Zoan sank a little further into the mud, straining to uphold the barrier.
Please, he thought. Hurry.
His vision began to darken, but then he felt something tug on his sleeve. She was beside him, grabbing his arm, pulling him away. They were safe. He released the shadow energy and sunk to his knees, splashing into the water up to his chin. The cold water sent a jolt up his spine, and he rose, joining her in retreating from the deadly torrent. They exited through the doorway beside the gate in silence, the door long since ripped off its hinges. The woman headed for the group of knights and masters gathering on the edge of the valley, but Zoan eyed the crowd uneasily. Instead, he veered to the right, toward the woods where they had camped last night. He craned around to look back at the flooded temple as he walked. How could Raiden have done this? The waterfall was back in its original position, but the damage had been done. Entire walls and buildings had been destroyed by the force of the waters. Clothes, food, and other debris floated in the wreckage. Without warning, he walked into something. A wooden staff collided with his middle just as he reached the trees. The woman holding it stepped out from behind a tree, tall and lithe, with her long hair tied in a tail at the nape of her neck. She wore cream-colored robes like most of the other Azurites, with a silver belt buckle depicting flowers or vines or something. The robes were soaking wet from the waist down, but somehow she looked less bedraggled than Zoan felt.
"Stop right there, you fiend!" she said.
With her other hand, she summoned a ball of flame. Zoan didn't need to be told twice. He held up both hands.
I don't want to hear it, she cut across him.
Zoan didn't bother to argue. He didn't even know what he had been about to say. What was he exactly? Tired, surely, confused entirely, but above all, devastated. He shook his head. It was all too much. He had been looking forward to studying at Azurite, and now everything was destroyed, including whatever tenuous relationship the two regions had. The woman smacked him in the side with her staff.
"Where is the Storm King?" she demanded. "Why aren't you with him? I want you to take me to him, right now, so I can rip him limb from limb."
Zoan closed his eyes briefly.
"I can't. I don't even..." "Liar! You're both liars, cut from the same cloth. I saw how you defended him back at the temple. He killed Lady Asaka, destroyed Azurite, and who knows how many inside to cover it up. I suppose ruling the Shadow Region wasn't enough for him. He had to come here and take down our temple, too."
The ball of flame in her hand flickered and grew.
"He didn't,"
Zoan began, then cleared his throat, Raiden's words earlier echoing in his head. "He didn't come here to destroy anything or anyone. I don't know what happened, truly." The woman narrowed her eyes at him.
"Don't you? You saw what happened. No one else in Camellia has that kind of power. He destroyed Azurite."
He shook his head.
Please, just let me pass. I need to find my uncle. I need to figure out what happened.
Figure out what happened? She scoffed. I think you know exactly what happened.
She smacked him with the staff, then withdrew it. The ball of flame and staff disappeared. Then, suddenly, she held an enormous sword in both hands, summoned in a flash of bright white. Zoan stumbled back a step.
Please, he said, still holding up both hands. I just want to...
The woman lunged forward, her expression hard. The sword came down in an arc toward him, the sharp tip slicing through the air and coming inches from his shoulder after he leaped backward.
Please, stop, Zoan said,
though he hastily siphoned as much shadow energy as he could. He cursed himself for leaving his sword back at their campsite. He would never go anywhere unarmed again. It must be so easy for these light knights to be able to summon a weapon whenever they wanted. But he couldn't bring himself to summon the fiery dagger after what he did inside Azurite. Protecting his uncle, who, if Zoan cared to accept the mounting evidence, was guilty. Then what did that make him? In the briefest moment that these thoughts passed through his mind, the woman's sword completed its arc and again stood poised in her hands.
I'll ask you again, where is the Storm King?
She swung again, her aim fierce. Zoan flung himself backward, using a hint of shadow wind to get him to a safe distance. The woman let out a guttural cry as she ran toward him, sword raised. Zoan leaped to the side and rolled to escape from his attacker.
I don't want to fight you, he cried. That's too bad, she said, towering over him, because I really want to fight you.
The heartbreak on her face was stark as she glanced toward the destroyed temple. Her red-rimmed eyes flicked back toward Zoan, still crouched near the ground. Zoan's thoughts raced back to the woman and child he had saved back at the temple before they were nearly murdered in front of his very eyes. Then he did something he never thought he would do. He let go of all the shadow magic he held. The woman couldn't know, couldn't see or feel shadow magic like he could, but he stood up, his hands palm out, shaking.
Listen, please. I have no idea where Raiden is, and I won't stand for what he did. Killing the lady, destroying the temple. I couldn't stand going back to my place at the spire after that.
She eyed him suspiciously, but let him stand.
Whatever that means to you, well, I don't care. But I'm not my uncle, and I don't agree with what he did. Will you forsake the Shadow Region?
He blinked at her. Thoughts of the spire, his home, raced through his mind, of his wife and his baby Zara, their messy quarters, littered with baby clothes and toys they didn't need, the study where he and Sarai would curl up with books when they had a spare minute or two, and the hours and years he had spent in the temple honing his craft. He opened his mouth but didn't know what to say.
Of course he doesn't mean that,
a new voice said. A small group of knights had entered the woods, watching the scene.
Nari, just be done with him and let's go, another knight said, his face plastered with mud and perhaps blood.
Nari continued to point her sword at Zoan's throat.
Well?
The blood on his hands, the lady dead on the floor, and the countless others in the watery temple. All for what? More power in the realm? The woman and child, nearly drowned. Raiden had to have known so many people were inside the temple. He might as well have tried to murder that woman and child with his bare hands, along with however many casualties that hadn't been prevented.
How could Raiden have done this? Zoan had trusted his uncle, and now?
Now the thought of his uncle made him want to be sick. There was no way he could return to the spire and pretend life was normal. I will denounce Raiden. The woman Nari narrowed her eyes at him. Zoan closed his eyes and bowed his head, his thoughts and his heart rate racing.
Raiden must answer for his actions, Nari said, and Zoan opened his eyes to see her turning slightly away from him, lowering her sword. He must be stopped.
He nodded, frowning. I'll need to get my family from the spire, but I will join you.
I can no longer call the Storm King my uncle after what he did.
Very well.
Nari summoned a scabbard for her sword and attached it to the silver sash around her waist.
We are heading to Gekko-ji.
She took a shaky breath.
The last light temple now. You will come with us and help take him down, even if we have to fight the entire Shadow Region.
He will answer for this, and anyone who supports him, Zoan agreed. It was like a great weight came crashing down on him as soon as the words passed through his lips. He just hoped it didn't drag him down and drown him.
I hope you enjoyed listening to The Fall of Azurite by Liz Delton, narrated by Peter Franson of Christian Geek Central. If you want to read the rest of the series, you can still snag a limited edition Kickstarter omnibus from Liz's website at lizdelton.com. If you enjoy listening to Peter narrate the story, you might also enjoy listening to his audio dramas at spiritblade.com or his podcast, Christian Geek Central, where he discusses movies, video games, and all things enjoyed by self-proclaimed geeks from a Christian worldview. Don't forget about this month's giveaway. You still have a couple weeks to enter, but if you're like me, these holiday months fly by, so you should enter now while you're thinking about it. We're giving away over 73 hours of wintry audiobooks, plus a 3-month Audible membership. Go to findingfantasyreads.com/giveaway to enter. As always, I will have links for all the sites I mentioned in the show notes. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.